Here's how we're going to start it.
You subbed Lonzo out early in the first and third quarter, early in the first and third quarter to get him run with the second unit, and then that unit played very well together. Can you talk a little bit about the thought process on that and why you think that unit worked so well?
Yeah, his dad was talking, so I took him out early. I'm just kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is PC Tony. I am joined by the one and only MVP of the chair shot, Mr. Christopher Platt, and the architect himself. I don't know, out of the three, I think I like the Dean of Design the best there. And you are listening to the NBA Playoff Preview 2019, presented by none other than thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, first topic right off the bat. We heard Luke Walton in the open. I think it's one of the funniest clips I've ever heard. I know you both have heard that before. Luke Walton out as Lakers coach. Magic Johnson resigns as Lakers president of operations. CP, your reaction to both of these things as we move away from this NBA season and into the playoffs and what this means for the Lakers moving forward. LeBron says he's shocked by the move of Magic. I don't know if he's shocked by the Luke Walton thing. I'm hearing Ty Lue. Talk to me, CP. How you been?
Good, man. And this whole Lakers season has been nothing but a complete and utter dumpster fire. I mean, I was shocked that Magic stepped away. I'm less shocked that Luke Walton is gone. There appears to be, from what I can surmise, there was somewhat of a power struggle within the organization. I know Magic, as well as LeBron, they weren't really happy with Luke as coach, but I know Jeannie Buss really liked him. And now that Magic's gone, I'm kind of shocked that she got rid of him. For Luke's part, I don't think he's a bad coach. I think this was a bad fit for him. I think he's kind of a laid-back, chill dude. And, I mean, he's Bill Walton's son, so how much of a dick could he possibly be? I mean, I can't really see Bill Walton raising a fuckboy, so he's probably a decent dude. I think he would be more served with a veteran team, you know, a team full of grown-ass men that don't have to be micromanaged. And this team, they needed somebody that could develop those younger players, and that just wasn't him. This is also part of the LeBron circus. As much as I love him, I mean, he's a bit of a drama queen. He is a diva. And I hate his passive-aggressive nature, how he'll pass messages through his team or, you know, he'll put, like, out little subtle tweets and shit like that. I don't really like that. But that's what you signed up for when you signed up for LeBron. I mean, he did the same thing in Cleveland. He basically held that franchise ransom the whole time he went back, and nobody really batted an eyelash because Dan Gilbert is a trash human being. But it looks like, you know, he's reared his ugly head again. And we don't know if Jeannie is going to be able to do this. I mean, she's better than the Sun, but we don't know if she's going to be capable of bringing this team back to glory. That being said, if LeBron doesn't get injured, this is a fifth seed in the West, and the whole narrative this season is completely different. It's still L.A. It's still a free agent destination, and they're one free agent away from writing this shit.
Okay.
Oh, also, I forgot about the whole fiasco that was the Anthony Davis thing and how that got completely botched. Go ahead, PC. My bad.
Before we get to DP's opinion here, you said he doesn't get hurt, they're a fifth seed in the West. To have been the fifth seed in the West this year, then, they would have had to have won at least 50 games and held a tiebreaker over the Jazz. You still think that if LeBron hadn't gotten hurt, the Lakers were going to win 50 games this year?
Most definitely, because it's LeBron. And the one thing that that's looming all over this whole situation like a dark cloud is the fact that LeBron did get hurt. And, you know, my sources were telling me 2 days after the injury occurred that it was a lot worse than they were putting on. And then I think about a month ago, the doctor actually came out and said, yeah, he was out for 6 weeks. He probably should have been out for 6 months. So, fellas, we've seen this scenario play out before with this very franchise. A star player that's not the easiest to play with coming off a catastrophic injury. And we're heading into year 17 of the LeBron thing. I mean, eventually it's got to fall off the rails. So I don't know if he's going to be the same. Quite frankly, if I'm the Lakers, I might say what Van Gundy said. I might explore the possibility of trading LeBron. Like, if that injury is really as bad as what I've heard, his trade value is not going to get any higher once the cat's out the bag. So I might entertain that. Try to get some assets, some young players, and, you know, try to rebuild the kingdom.
I am shocked and appalled that LeBron James says he's shocked and appalled by what's going on. You said it yourself, Chris. He did the same thing in Cleveland. Why do we think this is not the same thing he's doing here in Los Angeles? He's doing the exact same thing. He's getting his guys in there. He's getting his way. He wanted Luke Walton out. He wanted this change. This is what he wants, and he's going to get what he wants. That's it. I mean, not saying good or bad about it, but that's just what he's going to do. That's what he does, and he's going to get his way because he's LeBron James, and that's why these guys are leaving. Tyronn Lue. Wow, what a surprise. He's being mentioned as coming in. I mean, this is what LeBron does. I cannot be shocked and appalled after 17 years that he's doing this. And, you know.
Let's run it back real quick, and I'll start, and we'll just do it. We each get 30 seconds. I'll start. DP, Platt, you finish us off, and then we're going to go into the next topic before we get into the playoffs. We had two topics. There's one more very, very interesting topic that we'll spend a little bit of time on right after this. But best case scenario for the Los Angeles Lakers at the start of next season, and I'll start. Best case scenario for the Los Angeles Lakers at the start of next season, that LeBron is on the mend and just starts off playing limited minutes and then is completely fine as they get into like late December, January, right? And in the meantime, they've acquired Anthony Davis somehow. I think that makes everything go away. I think that means that LeBron is around for at least three more seasons after next year because they can limit his minutes, because they have a guy who can actually control the game when he hits them out. Lonzo Ball also comes back and is going to be a really, really good player. Like, I think that this guy, Lonzo Ball, you take away everything that around him that takes away from him, and he's a really good basketball player. It may not be the prettiest thing you'd want to see as far as a shot, but he knows how to win. He knows how to get to the hoop. He knows how to get his teammates open, and he does play a little bit of defense. DP.
Anthony Davis joins the Lakers to start next season. Either at the beginning of the season or at some point towards, you know, halfway through the season, Kawhi Leonard joins the Lakers and they go on and become a two seed. And we see them and the Golden State Warriors battling it out for the Western Conference Finals next year.
Mr. Platt?
Well, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, that's a done deal now. New Orleans just hired David Griffin as their president of basketball operations. He was also the general manager with Cleveland when they won the title. And him and LeBron, from all accounts, had a really close relationship. So that's going to happen. Best case scenario, they do get Kawhi. Golden State implodes, and the West is wide open. Oh, and Brandon Ingram comes back healthy, because we still don't know. The jury's still out on him whether or not he can be a player, but he's the biggest trade asset you have. So if he's able to come back and get a full clean bill of health, that's going to give you a lot of leverage and to bring in some pieces in.
Hindsight should have kept D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. Yes?
Yes and no. Probably. They should have kept Randle. I thought Randle had the most talent out of all those guys. Russell, you had to get rid of him because of that whole Nick Young debacle. So he probably the best light guy in the locker room. So
yeah, but Nick Young's gone now. You don't think LeBron would be dying to have D'Angelo Russell on his team right now?
Well, yeah, now.
It was a misjudgment of talent. Nick Young was never, ever going to be anything on anybody's team. Seriously, the guy just fucking shoots too much. Granted, he won with Golden State because all they did was set him up for open threes, and that's all he was good at.
No, I'm not talking from a talent standpoint. You can't deny his talent, obviously. I'm talking about from a chemistry standpoint. I don't know if having him in the locker room after that was going to work. There was too many guys that were there when that incident happened, and I think it was best for all parties to move on. And you see, he's matured and developed nicely out in Brooklyn, and I don't think that happens in L.A.
All right. True story. I forgot. What was the other thing I was going to ask you guys? It was so important, and now I can't remember because Platt's argument was so, you know, he's like, you know.
Was it about Anthony Davis wearing the That's All You Get shirts, or That's All, Folks?
That's all you get, jerks.
Yeah. Top.
That wasn't it, but that's a good place to move on. Let's move on to topic number two. Who's your MVP? Platt, it's one of two guys. You know who our MVP is. You have a complete non-bias for the most part, I believe. I don't think you have any Houston connections, do you?
I don't, but except for my co-host Ray Cash, Chairshot Radio, Sunday nights on thechairshot.com. But I'm with you guys. Your MVP is my MVP. I think you got to go with Giannis. They're probably going to give it to James Harden because y'all know how this works. The media starts stumping for who they want to be MVP around December and January. And with all due respect, James Harden lost his damn mind when he came back off of injury this year. And he balled out and he pushed Houston to, what are they, the 3 seed now or are they the 4th?
They're the 4 seed.
Okay, but either way, but all that being said, best player on the best team. Got to go with Giannis. They won't, but they should.
They definitely should. I mean, look what the Bucks did this year. I mean, I get it. Houston, you know, he's been putting up 40 a game or whatever. But I mean, look at what the Bucks have done. I mean, who would have thought the Bucks are going to be a number one seed? You know, they outdid their expectations by, I think, whatever the prediction was, like 11 games. They won 11, 12 more games than they were supposed to this year. Number one seed, you know, top five on offense and defense. Giannis is killing it. I mean, he's just putting up numbers like crazy. And they built this team to play based on how Giannis plays, and they have killed it. And how can you not pick the team that's the number one seed as your MVP?
I think a big thing to look at is point differential. Okay. When you look at point differential, the Warriors are at 6.5, and that's tops in the West, right? And then next up is the Jazz, and they're actually the 5th best record, and that's at 5. And the Rockets are just under at 4.8, okay? The Bucks' points differential is 8.8. The next closest is Toronto at 6. Now, granted, you could say that the East is weaker than the West, but at the same time, the West fashions teams that are 19-63, 33-49, 33-49, 33-49, okay? That's your bottom four. So don't tell me we don't have an equally weak schedule going on when we're looking at the bottom feeders. It is tough. Harden's done a lot. But if you look at Giannis's player efficiency, defensive efficiency rating, I believe it was number one very late in the season. If he did not finish there, I haven't checked lately. So I hope they give it to Giannis. It's total homer opinion. I could probably make an argument for Harden if I was unbiased. But that's why I wanted Platt to start the conversation.
There's definitely an argument to be had for Harden, but yeah, I just overall, yeah, what you all have done this year has been phenomenal, and I think this is Giannis's year thus far. So But there's an obvious argument to be made for Harden. I'm somewhat biased because I don't like watching James Harden play basketball. Like he's got to be the best player with the ugliest game. His game is ugly as work shoes on a Tuesday. Highly effective, not very entertaining to watch. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, James Harden's game offensively is dribble, 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 step back, three, dribble, 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 drive, free throw. That's his fucking game. And then, like, 1 out of 10 times, because there's 100 possessions, it's dribble, 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 pass, assist. So that's why he averages, what, 6, 7 assists, maybe? Something like that? I'm not even sure.
Assists? I can tell you that, right? James Harden, per game, I don't know. He's got 586 assists on the season.
He's got 36. He's at, math.
What's that divided by 82?
Harden.
There's got to be an assist per game on here somewhere, doesn't there?
If you guys listen, Harden, 36 points a game, 7.5 assists, 6.6 rebounds.
There it is.
That's your triple double.
7.5 assists.
Well, speaking of triple double, let's give
some of that. It's you look at who is the leader for points per game and rebounds per game and assists per game. You know, Giannis isn't number one on any of those lists. James Harden shoots more free throws. He's got points per game. You know, he's number two in steals per game. You know, Giannis is third in points per game, sixth in rebounds. You know, I guess that's where you make your argument for having Harden be the MVP. I mean, he's leading a few, you know, he's actually leading in a few categories where Giannis isn't. But, yeah, you talked about your player efficiency rating as well, and Giannis is number one there, but James Harden is right behind him.
I mean, 36 a game, man, that's Jordan shit. You got to give it up for him. That just is what it is. That's amazing.
Well, what sucks, what's difficult is, you know, as we say Jordan, but you look at this era. I mean, it's a three-point era now. You know, it's completely different shooting-wise. It's nothing but scoring, and it's all about playing offense and shooting threes. You know, this era is so different. I think that really certainly helps James Harden, where he could just he's out there just firing up threes left and right, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. Giannis doesn't even need to do that, though. Look at, he has improved his free throw percent. I hate to keep railing these things off because I feel like such a homer. Like, Platt, I appreciate the fact that you actually think that he should be the MVP because I completely appreciate your NBA opinion. I think it's excellent. I think it's educated. And it's unbiased in this situation. So I think we'll just leave it at that. I think that's just the best we can do in presenting this topic on this podcast, considering the very, very deep roots and ties to the Milwaukee Bucks that DPP and I have. I had season tickets last time they made the conference finals and was at every single playoff game that year in 2001 when they lost to Philadelphia. So I remember them beating the Magic and Tracy McGrady. I remember them beating Eldon Campbell and the Hornets. And I remember them losing to Allen Iverson and who's the other guard with the beard? What was his name? He was a really good defensive.
McKee.
Yes, Aaron McKee. Yeah. And folks, that year we had beaten the Lakers both times we played them. Joel Prisbilla had shut Shaq down.
Don't fool yourself, man. Nobody was beating that one Lakers team, man. Don't
fool yourself. It's the only thing I got left from that season. Let me have it, you son of a bitch.
No, nobody was beating that Lakers team, man. It's amazing. Philly got that one game off of them. And as I recall, that was the only game they lost that entire postseason. Nope, nobody was beating that team that year.
Sam Cassell is an alien. Answer. Anything was possible. All right,
he does look like that thing that came out dude's stomach on Alien.
Yeah, it's funny as hell. All right, folks, let's get right into it. The reason you're here, our NBA playoff preview. Oh, whoever edited that up was did a really good job and cut it at a right, very good exit time.
Yeah, I've heard better.
Oh, screw you. Ring the bell for me, DPP. We are going to go about our first round playoff matchups in chronological order. So I'm going to give you the game times on Saturday and the game times on Sunday and the station you can find them. And CP, DP, and myself, we're gonna kind of give our first round predictions here. You guys ready? Here we go.
We should nickname ourselves Alphabet Soup.
That we've already got that nickname from Tommy Rich.
Oh, okay. So I was onto something. Yeah, man. Whenever a former world champion agrees with you, you're onto something. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Ring the bell. All right.
He looks like anybody else think he looked like Flash Gordon?
Bob. Ring that fucking bell again. Well, in making our predictions for this first round, when we look into the alphabet soup, this is what we see per matchup. How about that, huh? No? Hated it?
Mine just says, ooh. I think I'm eating Cheerios. Sorry.
Bip, bip, Cheerio. Bip, 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 bip. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain, and the dingo ate my baby.
What's that? The dingo ate your baby?
The dingo ate my baby.
The dingo ate your baby.
The dingo ate my baby.
The
dingo.
The.
Let's get to some basketball, man. We actually want people to listen.
I was going to go word for word. All right, Brooklyn and Philadelphia are going to kick the whole playoffs off 1:30. Well, 2:30 Eastern bias time.
Real people time, you mean? Real
people time. Well, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude.
That's why I said it. Real people time.
I don't know about that, dude.
No offense.
On ESPN. 206 on your DirecTV provider. 1301 on your Comcast provider. I don't know what you guys got on the East Coast. What do you got, Platt?
I have Xfinity, which is Comcast.
Okay. Well, how do you guys feel? I feel like this is one of the series in the first round that could be an upset, actually.
Nah. I think the East is pretty chalk, at least in the first round. And I hate the – we got to get rid of that narrative that, number one, let's give a shout out and thank my lovely, gorgeous, beautiful, vivacious wife who just brought me a nice glass of wine. So we had to shout out to Miss Kreba.
Wait, you just said wife. Are you guys married now?
As far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned.
I was just checking. I didn't know if there was congratulations in order or not. I mean, I support that.
Oh, well, never mind. She came out and gave me that look. She said, well, common law, not commonwealth, and no. So, all right. Anyway, so that means, back to basketball.
I'm not sure what that means. If she wants you to propose or make more money.
Both. Yeah, does she want you to propose, make more money? Yes. We need to get rid of this narrative that the West is so much stronger than the East. I just don't see it. I mean, you can make the argument that maybe it has a little more depth at the bottom, but this Eastern Conference has four legitimate squads that could make a run to the finals. It would be five. Unfortunately, Oladipo got injured, so that kind of limits the Pacers. But that's what makes this so exciting, this Eastern Conference playoffs, because, again, there are four teams that could make it out, but each one of those teams is fundamentally flawed. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. As far as this series goes, yeah, I would say Philly in five, six games. I can't see them getting beat by the Magic. Shout out to Aaron Gordon, who's had a career year, but
well, they're playing Brooklyn.
I'm sorry?
They're playing Brooklyn.
Oh, well, they're going to beat them too. Shout out to D'Angelo Russell, who's had a career year. And yeah, I say, yeah, Philly in five or six, because they're young, so they might drop a game here and there, just, you know, being inexperienced.
Yeah, I really don't see Philly losing this series at all either. You know, even with Joel Embiid's questionable with his injuries, you know, I think they could probably sit him, you know, see how the series goes to start. But they got a lot of talent on that team, you know, just a matter of, yeah, inexperience in the playoffs maybe. you know, getting that under their belt a little bit and getting a little more comfortable in the playoffs. But same could be said for Brooklyn too, where, you know, they don't have a lot of guys that are, you know, have a lot of playoff experience, and I just think they're undermatched, you know, in this one. I same, you know, agree with Platt a bit on this, where, you know, the top four or five teams, you know, again, Pacers could have been right there too, but the injury is going to kill them. That, yeah, you got four or five strong teams in the East that can come out of this thing. And I really like Philly. I'm expecting them to make the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they're that talented. They're really good. So it should be interesting. I think five games, Philly will take it.
If Brooklyn can take one of the first two on the road, they can win this series. And that's all I'm going to say. I think this is the most winnable matchup for a lower seed in the first round of the playoffs. D'Angelo Russell has been great. The coaching has been great. The transition and the defense at the same time. This team can win basketball games in Philly, without a doubt. Adding all these pieces in at different times and not having been together for a long time easily could implode if they get down and lose a game at home, and all of a sudden it's game four in Brooklyn and they're down 2-1 and Brooklyn's up 3-1, right? I mean, now there's a series right there. So
I apologize, man. Go ahead. But PCDP, you know, Philly, they arguably have the second most talented starting lineup in the entire league. But here's their fundamental flaw. Ben Simmons, unfortunately, spent his summer keeping up with the Kardashians instead of working on a jump shot. So what's going to happen in the playoffs when the game slows down and every possession counts? They're going to sag off of him. They're going to clog up the lane, and that's not going to give Embiid a lot of room to maneuver down there. So I don't know if they're going to be able to overcome that. The youth is also a factor. So, yeah, I could see where you're coming from, PC. If they get down, you don't know if they'll be able to claw themselves back. But that's their thing. That's my thing with Philly. That's been my thing with Philly all year, is that Ben Simmons, he's got to have the ball in his hands, but what's going to happen when it slows down and other teams are forcing him to make jump shots? Is he going to be able to rise to the occasion? And I guess that remains to be seen.
Let's move on. Orlando, Toronto. I don't think there's much mystery here in this series. I think it's pretty impressive what Orlando's done and how well they've progressed, and they could be a real team to, you know, compete with come in the next few years as they progress and get older, maybe add a piece here or there. Maybe one win against Toronto. Toronto's just so good, so very, very good, DP.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, again, they were, you know, they were the team last year as well. And, you know, now they changed a little bit, but they get Kawhi Leonard in there, who's, you know, just amazing on the floor. And yeah, I just don't think Orlando has enough talent right now to hang with them. You know, Toronto is just one of the best teams in basketball. And, you know, Orlando's on a hot streak maybe at coming into the end of the season, but I don't think it's going to be enough come playoff time, you know, especially with a team like Toronto. It's just too much talent to be taken out in the first round anyway. And yeah, I mean, if Orlando Magic get a win, probably that'd be probably good for them. Have one win maybe, but Toronto's just going to kind of dominate this series all the way through.
Yeah, I agree. Orlando's just happy to be here. Like I said, shout out to Aaron Gordon. He's had a career year, but yeah, I don't even think they'll get a game. Toronto is super talented, and they have arguably, with all due respects to Mr. Giannis, arguably the best player in the conference. Again, health is always going to be an issue with Kawhi. And for some reason that I can't really put my finger on, Kyle Lowry's game doesn't always translate to the postseason. I can't really figure out why. It seems like it would, but it doesn't. So
he's a smaller guard.
You said he's a small guard?
He's a smaller. It's his size, don't you think? I mean, he's a matchup nightmare for coaching staff. I mean, you can pick him and get him matched up against a bigger guy, and there's not much they can do about it.
But he's thick, though, so you figure you could put his ass on the block and let him put his ass in front of some, or, you know, yeah, and let him go to work and operate the offense from the post.
We'll see what happens. You know, like Mark Jackson used to do. Mark Jackson was phenomenal. Big fan of him. I can't wait to see him maybe get a coaching job next year. Here, I got a question for you guys, and a special NBA playoff preview edition of.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it's just like your opinion, man.
Gentlemen, will Kawhi Leonard be a Toronto Raptor next season? DP.
No, he will not, brother.
CP?
Nah.
Well, that was a very predictable addition of...
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Real quick, before we move on to the next series, where do each of you see him going?
I love L.A., but not necessarily the Lakers.
Clips? Doc Rivers?
Either or. I'm just saying L.A.
Oh, hello there. I'm seeing him going to the Lakers. Maybe he will be, maybe he will be a Toronto Raptor to start the season. But he ain't going to end as a Toronto Raptor next season. I see him joining LeBron in the L.A. fiasco.
What if it's Kyrie that joins LeBron again? A reunion, if you will. Reunited, and it feels so good. And it's Durant and Kawhi in New York.
I can't see Kawhi in New York. He doesn't seem like the New York type. He's a little...
No, too, I know. I just booked that like I booked WWE. It'll never happen. It's just what I want to say.
Why not?
Why not? Take my wife, please.
Yeah. My wife said we need to talk more after sex, so I called her on the telephone.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Speaking of the Clippers, they get that lucky first round matchup against the Golden State Warriors. Just so everybody knows, Orlando Toronto game one, 4-5. I'm doing it again. 5 Eastern on ESPN. And 8 o'clock Eastern. Now I'm doing it on purpose. Not really, though. That was another accident. 8 o'clock Eastern, ABC. Lakers, Jesus. It says LA. Clippers, Golden State. Gentlemen. Doc Rivers, should he not be the Lakers coach? I mean, that would benefit them the most. Obviously, I don't think he's going anywhere, but if the Clippers stand a chance here against Golden State to even win a game?
try and say this nicely?
Fuck, all right.
No.
10:30 Eastern on ESPN, San Antonio and Denver.
I like it.
I think right behind for me, Brooklyn and Philadelphia, this is the series where you would think that the underdog could possibly win here. I mean, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. I mean, like in the history of basketball ever being played, like when James Naismith went to the YMCA that day, put up the fucking peach basket, pulled over that fucking weird ball with the seams on it and told guys that they couldn't move. They could only pass it or shoot it, right? Or take one step. I mean, since the inception of this game being played, where the ball was thrown through a hoop. Greg Popovich is easily one of the greatest coaches there ever been. One of the men who's understood the game better than anybody, right? And how to motivate players and how to build a team, a T-E-A-M, team, right? So you'd think that they have a chance, but Denver's looked oh so good, Platt. I mean, oh so good this year.
Yeah, Denver's had a phenomenal season, and for most of this season, they were in the running for the top seed. I didn't really see that coming. So, you know, props to them. I could see a scenario in a universe in where the Spurs beat them here in the first round. But the problem with San Antonio is, and as much as I love Popovich, I really do. I agree with everything you said. He's going to war with LeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. That ain't the wave, bro. So, Denver's going to escape this probably in 6 games.
Yeah,
but I don't see them going any further than the second round, though.
No, I do like this one, though. I like this is a great matchup because it's just, you know, like you said, I'm pretty sure Greg Popovich was there when Naismith was putting up the peach baskets. I think he was sitting on the bend on the bleachers there as a baby, probably drawing up his first plays. And, you know, he's brought it all the way to this level, this far out. So, awesome for Greg Popovich. but, yeah, it's just... San Antonio is always a threat. That's just crazy. After losing, you know, all these, you know, guys, veterans, Tony Parker and Ginobili and those guys, Kawhi's, you know, gone. And then, you know, he's able to get this team, you know, they didn't look that great to start the season. All of a sudden they start to look good and they start to, and all of a sudden they're a playoff team again. You know, it's ridiculous. And I think as long as you have Greg Popovich, you have a chance. It's ridiculous how awesome that is, and it's tough when you don't have all the talent around you. And like you said, Chris, you got Aldridge and DeRozan. Yeah, okay, you know, there are some veterans, but you know, Denver is just killing it. I know they're you know, a younger team, but they got some, you know, great guys. And I don't know how to exactly say his name, Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic, phenomenal. Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic? Jokic? Yeah. That's Nikola. Close.
Nikola. We're
going to
call
him Rico. Rico Lawson.
Stick with this. Stick with this. This is like when I had to learn Kazuchika Okada, okay? It eventually just comes natural. Niko Jokic. There you go.
Niko Jokic. So Rico Lawson is having a fantastic season. And yeah.
Where's Tokyo 3K?
Such a quiet number two team, and I think they're going to win this one. But I wouldn't be surprised to see this one get pushed to seven games, just because it's the San Antonio Spurs. I'm taking the Nuggets in seven.
They have seven players that average double digits, not to mention Trey Lyles and a returning Isaiah Thomas. So this is a guy who is a center averaging 20 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 7 assists. Think about that. Jokic is going to be all NBA first team center. This guy is probably third in the MVP race, okay? Think about what they've done and the amount of games they've won. No one expected them to be where they were this year. They won the they had the fourth best record in the NBA. They were that close to fucking taking the one seed away from Golden State. So I feel most definitely we're going to see them in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think there's a shadow of a doubt.
Bless you.
You don't think they're going to make the West? You don't think they're going to win their first two series?
No. They'll win their first series, but no. In the second round, who are they looking at? Either OKC or Portland?
Portland. Yes. They are looking at OKC or Portland. And we can go out of...
Is that because they do swine in Portland, or is it because they're a bunch of fatties?
And we can go
slightly... Either way, man.
We can go slightly out of order. That first game is Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on ABC, OKC at Portland. And we all know, Platt, the history between Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook. And by the way, holy shit, 20-20 and 20 games, second time ever since Will Chamberlain. The amount of triple-doubles this guy's had dwarfs the amount of most... Dwarfs the mostly the amount of triple doubles most franchises have.
Bro, this guy has averaged a triple double for the third consecutive year, and nobody's talking about it. And yes, I know DP, you talked about a little bit earlier. The game has changed; it's played at a faster pace. There's a lot of 3-point shots going up, which lead to longer rebounds, which allow guards to obtain more rebounds. But it's still a triple double, man, for three consecutive years. That's goddamn impressive, regardless of what era it is.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's getting triple double is just a ridiculous feat among itself, and to have it for three seasons, I mean, that's insane. I mean, this is another one that's really going to be a really difficult series, I think. I mean, Oklahoma City, you know, with Paul George as well, you know, just they could easily take this series from Portland.
This is the squad that I have in the Western Conference Finals on this side of the bracket. I know they've kind of faltered late in the season. They didn't really end the year very well, but for most of the year, Paul George was a legitimate MVP candidate. We talked about Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double again. That's just what he does now. And I think talent-wise, they're just better than both Portland and a possible second-round matchup with Denver. So I expect to see this team in the conference finals.
Well, yeah, and you got guys that have a ton of playoff experience with these guys, too, with Westbrook, and you got Paul George as well. You know, Westbrook's no stranger to being in Western Conference Finals and in the finals. He could easily just, you know, go apeshit in the playoffs and pull in James Harden, you know, numbers for points-wise. You know, he can hit that three like no other and plays great defense. So, yeah, I mean, I like Oklahoma City in this series. It's one of the few upsets that could happen in the entire first round.
And here's the thing, man. This is why I don't believe in, you know, teams like Denver and Portland and even Utah for that, as a matter of fact. You know, on a night-to-night basis in the NBA, it's a really tough place to play. You know, the altitude is a little higher in those places. the fans don't have shit else going on, so they come and they're very rabid and they're very rowdy, and it's a cool atmosphere to play in. And that's why their win totals get inflated, just because they're difficult places to play. But when it comes down to the playoffs and you're seeing the same team night after night for 2 weeks, I don't really think they have what it takes to take what anybody's got.
I like OKC here. I like the matchup between them and Denver in the second round, personally. Let's backtrack a little bit in the schedule on Sunday. 1 p.m. Eastern, TNT, the future home of Tuesday Night Dynamite, All Elite Wrestling, for all you wrestling fans listening to this podcast right here on thechairshot.com.
Always use your head.
Very intriguing series. Boston, and it would be even more intriguing, Platt, if Indy had Oladipo, but Boston feels to me like the team that really liked getting the four seed. They don't, you know, they're at home. They get to play us in this, look at me. They play Milwaukee in the second round. They get to stay away from Philly and Toronto, which I think they're worst matchups for them. Your thoughts on Boston here in the first round and then moving forward.
Well, I disagree with that assessment, with all due respect, sir. I think they would have been better served, at least in their heads, as the sixth seed or the third seed, because for whatever reason, they seem to have Philly's number. Philly only beat them one time this year. Philly lost to them last year in the playoffs when they were a depleted squad. I think they would have rather saw Philly. Boston's weird, though, because they're super talented. I mean, from 1 to 12, they may be the most talented team in the league, but they just don't seem to enjoy playing with each other. And those young guys, I mean, obviously we knew that Rozier's production and productivity was going to take a step back because Kyrie was coming back. But what I don't think we anticipated were Jaylen Brown and Tatum regressing. I mean, although, to Tatum's credit, he has played a lot better here in the second half of the season, but these aren't the same players that were in last year's playoffs. So they're a team where I could see this whole thing imploding and them losing in the first round, or I could see them going all the way to the finals. You just really don't know. I will tell you this, and I learned this firsthand last season when the Pacers played the Cavaliers and took them to seven games. Indiana going to make you work for it, Jack. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this went seven games. This is going to be a knockout, dragout. Indiana is going to make you work for it, regardless if they're depleted or not. And this is probably going to be one of the more entertaining first-round matchups. But I give Boston the edge just based on talent alone.
Miles Turner has been one of my favorite players for Indiana for a long time. I think he's been there even before Oladipo, and that kid can play some ball on the inside. He knows how to use his body.
I agree.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about the series is the losses, really. Oladipo gone. Boston just lost Marcus Smart as well. I think he's a good talent that they're losing off their lineup right there too.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's out for probably the first round at least, maybe the second, depending on how far they go. But yeah, he's out as well.
Holy shit, so that means Kyrie got to play some defense. Oh, yeah.
So, that hurts for both sides. So, this is, to me, almost, with the way that Boston seems to play, I mean, I don't see either of these two teams. I think it's fortunate for them that they're playing each other because one of them has to win. I don't think any of them get out of the second round just because of injuries. It's unfortunate because they are two talented teams. And I think Indiana, if they wouldn't have lost Oladipo, could have been, the surprise team of the East, that could have made a run for the finals, if they wanted to. But Boston's just so, like you guys said, I don't know if they want to play with each other. And it just sucks because both of them are losing star players, and I think that's kind of going to be the story of this series, which could have been an awesome series if everybody would have been healthy. And it probably will go to most likely seven games or so already, but then I don't see any of them getting out of the second round, no matter who they play, just because of everything that's happened to both teams with injuries.
All right, gentlemen. I think one that's really easy to pick, especially the success they've had over them during the regular season, and Blake Griffin being injured, having an injury. I don't see the Bucks having to go any further than three games, so we'll just move on from that topic and discuss them in another round. But Utah and Houston, well, go ahead.
They have to go at least four, Tony. That's how this works.
No, not this one. Too many injuries.
Yeah, they're gonna win. So they're gonna win such a large margin.
They're just gonna say, "Fuck it, man. We can see."
Gonna call it. It's gonna be a great.
they're gonna do the Usos. They're gonna go, "Hey, Giannis, good luck, Us."
Listen,
Pistons, we forfeit.
I can tell you with 100%. I personally had asked Nico Mirotić how he was feeling, and he told me he was feeling good. Oh, I'm just saying. Oh. Have you talked to any NBA players about their injury status lately?
I can't say that I have. Okay, fair enough.
All right. Well, I asked Nico Mirotić this past week how he was feeling, and he said he was feeling good.
But it's hard for me to believe that you talked to Nicorette Patch and got opinions on how he was feeling going into the playoffs, okay?
Listen, Platt. When I tell you with 100% confidence and honesty that I talked to Nico Mirotić and asked him how he was feeling, and he told me he was feeling good, do you not believe me?
I have a hard time believing that you talked to Nicotine Patch. I got to be careful because there's another word that's about to slip out my mouth. And I'm trying to...
Definitely not that. Definitely not that.
Injury status.
Well, if I come back at you and tell you, yes, I 100% did. And do you believe me or no?
Fine, I'll believe you, okay? I'll play along.
No, I did!
Sure, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure, buddy.
Whatever. It's true.
Please believe me! Please believe me!
That's funny. All right, Melon Farmer.
We can't say old boy's name no more, man, because it's going to slip out, man.
Listen, in the same way that I also spoke with Chris Middleton, I spoke with Nico Mirotić, okay?
What did you, what, pen pal or something? What are you doing? You writing these guys letters or something? What's happening?
Well, I'll explain post-show for you.
I get it. You probably tweeted at them, and they tweeted you back, and it made your day.
In person, anyway. Houston and Utah. Plats.
Yeah, it's
in person.
What's that?
What?
You guys are throwing me off now.
Who?
I said, who tweets in person?
He's standing right next to him, and he's tweeting him.
Hey, by the way, I just tweeted you. Do you mind? No, I want to just, I don't believe you. Did you really hit retweet there? Let me see it. Let me see it on your phone.
PC's a little shy, you know, just a little shy.
So you got Utah, no chance coming out of the first round here against Houston, huh, Platt?
No chance in hell. They might get a game or two in Utah just because Utah is a tough place to play with all the factors that I talked about earlier. But no, man, they're not going to beat Houston. Houston, we do not have a problem.
We might have a problem. I mean, it's hard to play in Utah with all that music going on.
What, Donnie and Marie? What are you talking about, man?
Jazz music, you know.
Yes, because Utah is clearly known for its jazz.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's why they moved to Utah, where they don't allow music. It's got to be a tough one.
Utah is the town from Footloose, huh?
Utah is a talented roster. They have some very good players. I think Rudy Gobert is one of the best players in the NBA, to be honest with you. He's very good in the middle. He's very good defensively. No, it's not. It's not a stretch.
Out of 400 players, is he in the top 100? Yeah, okay, that's fair.
He's in the top 40.
Maybe.
Easily. Maybe. Anyway, they just don't have the firepower with Houston. Unless Houston goes on a very, very cold streak from the three-point line, there's no way they lose this series.
Well, it has happened.
It could happen. It's just, yeah. I mean, Utah has not been a bad team this year. They got a good lineup. Maybe they just don't have the depth to stick around with Houston. And like I said, if Houston's shooting okay, I mean, I don't think they can hold up to the shooting that Houston can do. But if they go on a cold streak, I mean, you got guys on Utah that can that could shoot. You unfortunately got Kyle Korver, which I fucking can't stand that guy, but
wow.
Ice, just a D-bag. Anyways, but, you know, wow. Utah's been a solid team, I mean, all year, and you never know. I don't think they can hold up, but like I said, if Houston goes on a cold streak, it could happen.
All right, last thing before we move on, and I just want your real quick answer. Your team, the teams that aren't expected to win in the first round, who do you think is your most likely to win? I know you guys said Spurs. I was talking Brooklyn. Who's your final dark horse in the first round? I'll go. I got OKC. I got Brooklyn. DP.
Yeah, I got to go with Oklahoma City on that as well.
All right.
Shout out to Portland though.
Portland. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, baby. There you go. All right. Well, we're going to get down to the nitty gritty here. And before the playoffs even start, we're going to give you our finals picks. And I'd also like you guys to tell me who they're going to beat in the conference finals. I will start. I think it's going to be a Bucks-Raptors conference finals. I think the Bucks are going to be in the NBA playoffs. I think Brogdon's going to come back. Shout out to Mike Budenholzer, the seventh coach in NBA history to lead multiple franchises to 60 wins. That's very impressive. I mean, that was probably the second biggest pickup in the offseason besides LeBron James, was Mike Budenholzer by the Bucks to be their head coach. And on the other side, I don't know. This is tough. I think you're going to see Denver and Golden State, and I think Golden State's going to make it back to the finals. And because I'm a homer, I'm going to pick the Bucks because this is the first time they've ever had the best record since I've been alive. So, and I think DP is going to do the same thing. So we'll let Platt be the voice of reason at the end of the show here. DP, give me your thoughts as we move towards the NBA finals and the playoffs.
Platt, you can set us straight about what's really going to happen after I give my homer pick as well. I'm going with, it's going to be Golden State Warriors over the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. I think that can happen, right? They're not going to play each other in the second round because that'll be Houston and Golden State. So
yep, there you go.
I'm going to go with that one. And I'm also going to say the Bucks over the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Bledsoe going to throw the ball at Embiid again?
Bucks will take down Embiid. He sucks balls anyway.
Hey, you bite your tongue.
I should. He's good, but
my home team, brother.
That should be. No, I think I'm kind of hoping for that because I think that's going to be a really good matchup. And of course, I'm going to take the Bucks over the Golden State Warriors in the finals. However long that takes, hopefully it's not seven games and it's shorter and we can enjoy a dominating victory for the Milwaukee Bucks and winning a championship, brother.
You know, DP, PC, I was about to call you CP. PC, ever since you came to me, maybe what was it, 4 or 5 days ago, and you said that you wanted to do this playoff preview, I've been racking my brain and I've been going back and forth and I've been talking myself in and out of several teams. So I'm really just doing this off the top of my head. I drove myself crazy and I decided I'm just going to stop thinking about it, man, and whatever comes to me, comes to me. I'm going to start out in the Western Conference. It's hard to pick against Golden State. That being said, I think that they're more vulnerable than they've been during their entire run. I mean, their bench is trash. Steph Curry is still dealing with some nagging issues. You've got my main man. I love him to death, but Boogie Cousins is literally playing for his basketball life right now, so you don't know how that's going to affect team chemistry. And they just seem to be tired of playing with each other as well. And what they've done is super impressive. I think it kind of gets glossed over and we don't step back and look at the magnitude of what they've done. I mean, what has it been? What, 4 consecutive NBA finals? That's hard to do. And they're going for 5 right now. And that's hard. And that's a lot of wear and tear on the body. That being said, the only two teams that actually have a realistic shot of beating them, obviously Houston. You know, you can make the case that if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt last year, Houston would have won that series. Or even if they made a couple of threes in game 7, they might have won that series. Special shout out to Chris Paul, by the way. His game 5 performance last year when they went on the road at Golden State and won that game, other than LeBron's game one in the finals, that was my favorite individual performance of the playoffs last year. And he had this look on his face like, I'm tired of losing to these melon farmers. And he meant it. Unfortunately, he got hurt after that. So there's that. OKC, I think Russell Westbrook is such a force of nature. How can I say this without being a dick? I'm just going to say it. Durant's a little mentally fragile, and he can be rattled easily. I saw it in game one of last year's finals. LeBron was clearly in his head, and he was out to lunch. Unfortunately, the way things transpired that last 45 seconds, it didn't work out, and everybody knows how it goes. We don't have to rehash that shit. But I think that he can be rattled. And I think this team could be rattled. So I could see a scenario where OKC just gives them the business. That being said, you can't go against Golden State, man. So Golden State's going to be in the finals. I said all that long filibuster to say Golden State's going to be in the finals. Now, on the Eastern side, this one is a lot tougher. Fellas, I know. I get it. I understand. You know what I mean? I'm from Cleveland. I get it. And if you all were healthy coming into the playoffs, I'd go with you, but you're not, man. You've got a lot of injuries. You've never been there before. But more than that, it's just the injuries, man. It's hard. And like I said, every team that has a chance to do this is fundamentally flawed. At the end of the day, I'm going to go with the experienced, which is the Boston Celtics. I think they have enough depth. Old boy's a good enough coach. Brad Stevens, he's a good enough coach that they're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to beat them. And ultimately, I think with Kyrie, you know, championship experience, they've got enough to come out the East. So I say Golden State and Boston. With all due respect to Milwaukee, Philly, we talked about their flaws. Toronto, it's just hard to see Toronto in the finals, and it may happen. But I'm going Boston, Golden State.
Hey, you can't say, honey. How can you say the Bucks haven't been there? We have lost more first round series than you can count.
Well, you can count them.
Good, kind of point there, buddy. Kind of. With all due respect, man. And again, y'all got some real serious injury issues too, man, in your top rotation, man. So it's going to be tough. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see Milwaukee get there. I'd love to see the Greek freak on the national stage and have his coming out party. But I got to go with the Celtics because they've been there before.
There you have it, folks. The finals picks from everybody right here on the Chair Shot NBA playoff preview. CP, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you all over the social media and where they can listen to your wonderful views and opinions.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
This guy. Hey,
man, you guys can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. And bring all your takes, man. Music, basketball. I'm going to get back into football this year, professional wrestling, whatever, man. I like to chop it up and talk a little bit of shit, man. Don't take it personally if I crack on you. It's all love. Love is love. But yeah, I'm on Twitter at The Real C Platt.
You can find me all over the social interwebs at It's Me DPP.
Yeah, well, and I'm PC Tunney. You can find me at PC Tunney. Make sure you go to thechairshot.com. Make sure you check it out. News, reviews, you know, opinions, everything, professional wrestling. We're trying to do a little bit more sports here and there. I know we were all really big NBA fans and excited to do this NBA playoff preview, for you guys and drink a couple beers, obviously. Shout out to Stone Cold Steve Austin for all your wrestling fans. Yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward. Maybe we'll make this thing. We'll come up with a name and then we'll do it every so often. So thanks for tuning in. Any last thoughts, gentlemen, as we move into this wonderful time where there's going to be so much sports on TV. You know, you come home at any given point in time, even SportsCenter is going to be entertaining if you haven't caught up. You got hockey playoffs, you got NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball has just started. I know we jumped in with Masters updates this weekend for Tiger Woods is going on. Golf is going to be in full effect with all those majors in back-to-back months. So the sporting scene is hot to trot right here in the summer. And we'll see what happens moving forward. Platt, final thoughts here before we exodus from this podcast of us?
Shout out to Nicotine Rubik's Cube, man.
All right.
And good luck in the playoffs.
Nico Mirotic, DP.
And Rico Lozenge as well.
Yeah, you guys can both go fuck yourselves. Say,
when the Bucks take the NBA championship this year, this is the phrase I would like to hear.
It's a great team, Ken. You never gave up hope. I want to thank Jesus and say hi to my special lady, Marge. We did it, baby! Woo!
Woo!
Let's go have a Miller Lite. And this has been the NBA Playoff Edition from thechairshot.com.
There it is.
Hey, Platt, if there's one thing I could play for you, what would it be?
This.
Nah. I got it.
How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America.
Did we lose a war? That's not America. That's not even Mexico.